And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And once a month, we get to talk to certain people who are keeping an eye out for what's happening on our roads. I'm talking about Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation, and she is joined by a special guest. It's Brad Bauer, the maintenance supervisor for El Paso County. And we'd like to thank both Brad and Michelle to the show today. Good morning, both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shannon. Thanks again for the opportunity to join you today.
Yes, and the reason we're bringing Brad in is it's important that people know about winter maintenance operations because the effects of not being able to take care of our roads during these winter storms can lead to devastating consequences, people in accidents, and even worse, people getting hurt, people ending up going to the hospital. So let's start, Michelle, with you. How does CDOT prepare for an upcoming winter storm?
Yeah, I am going to turn that right over to the expert and let Brad handle those questions.
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert. I just try to be. I try to be. you know, basically the preparations for a winter storm, we start, probably the week before and we're watching the weather. We're watching, local TV. We're watching National Weather Service. Some other things, other tools that we have available to us here at CDOT. We try to pinpoint exactly when the storm's going to come in and when it's going to hit. In the meantime, while we're doing that is, we're getting our trucks and equipment ready to go. We're making sure that we have plenty of product available. Plow blades are ready to go. Trucks are operational. And then on top, on top of that, we also make sure that our people are ready to go, that they're getting rest and they know what shift they're going to be on for that week. And they're at home, getting some good food in them and getting some sleep before they have to come in and plow snow for a 12 to 14 hour shift.
Okay.
And that's about
clarify.
It for getting ready.
Let me clarify, because I think I misunderstood my notes that I had on today's show. Brad, you are actually with CDOT, but you're the supervisor for El Paso County. Is that correct?
Right. I'm the maintenance operations supervisor for all state highways here in El Paso County.
Got it. Okay. So in terms of, because a lot of people don't understand, but there is a division of labor when it comes to county roads, city roads, and state highways. Can you explain a little bit about how, everybody stays in their lane, I guess, when it comes to taking responsibility for the clearing of those roads?
You bet. So, there's, when it comes pretty much, like we handle all the major highways, I-25, US 24. We have Powers Boulevard, which is actually State Highway 21. A lot of people don't know that. They just think it's Powers Boulevard. And then, of course, highways out east, US Highway 24 out east and Highway 94 out east as well. There is some very slight overlap here and there. Where maybe the city or the county might be plowing, might do some work for us like on Academy Boulevard or something like that. We pretty much all stay in our own lanes, but, there's a little slight overlap here and there between our organizations.
Okay, so you've talked about how you stay aware of incoming storms, of how they may be developing by consulting with all the resources that you have available, the National Weather Service, local weather meteorology reports, as well as other resources. But when you've identified that a storm is heading our way, what do you do to pre-treat roads? Because I've noticed with some storms, it seems like there's a lot of pre-treatment material that's on the roads. Others, maybe I don't, or other drivers don't notice it as much. So tell us, what is pre-treating and why and how and when it's used?
Well, so we actually try to pre-treat before every storm. We see one coming, we can treat up to almost 72 hours before a storm, and it's still a viable material. The beauty of the stuff that we use, it's a brine material, so it's pretty much a salt water with a corrosion inhibitor that we make in-house, and we go apply it to the surfaces, and pretty much, like I said, we could go up to 72 hours beforehand. And what that does is that it gives us a little bit of a leeway from when, you know, the storm's actually coming in, our guys are starting to trickle in and get in the trucks and get out on the road. It gives us that little bit of break that keeps the road kind of wet and allows traffic to flow fairly freely through that process. And then we get out on the road and then we go back, you know, we go to normal operations, plowing, et cetera. We do have some exciting news. We are starting to pre-treat a little bit more. It used to be just I-25. We are now pre-treating Highway 83 to the north. We're pre-treating Powers Boulevard or Highway 21 all the way through. And I think that people are going to notice. They're going to start seeing trucks out there a day or two or three before a storm, and they'll be out there putting a liquid product down on the ground.
And Brad, is that because of the volumes that you're seeing on those other state roads?
Yes, absolutely. A lot, you know, as everybody knows, Colorado Springs seems to be growing. And we have a lot more traffic than we've had, you know, in the last 5 years. It seems like there's even more traffic. A lot of it's got to do with the volume. Some of the time constraints, it does take a little bit of time for guys to come in and get their trucks checked out and ready to go, get a load of sand on or whatever they need. So it really does give us that little bit of cushion between, you know, the snow starting, that kind of liquidy phase it goes into while, you know, the ground's cooling, and then our truck's getting on the road and it starts freezing. So it gives us that nice cushion, especially with all the traffic volume that we have on these highways.
And I was following, not too closely, but one of the treatment trucks I think it was last week, and I was hit by what I thought was at the time maybe a pebble, but it turned out, I think, to be a little lump of the pre-treatment material. Is that what it was? Because it seemed like it then melted and turned blue on my windshield. So I could only assume that that's what it was. Is that something that I guess drivers need to be aware of? I mean, it didn't cause any damage, but I just was wondering if that was what it was.
Yeah, that's kind of actually the first time I've heard of that. It's really a liquid product that comes out. If you might get some on your windshield, I mean, people might notice when they're driving up behind a liquid unit that's pre-treating, the goo that's getting on the windshield is maybe a little thicker, and maybe it takes a little bit more washer solvent to get off. But that's usually all anybody should really notice when they're following behind our liquid units.
Okay, so explain for us the difference between pre-treating and treating, because, I mean, one, it sounds like, is for prevention. Tell us what the difference is between the two.
So, basically the pre-treating part is just to give us that cushion. Now, at some point in the storm, the ground conditions are going to start freezing, and, you know, you're just going to get snow accumulation. And it just gets colder. There's just nothing you can do about that. It will do. It's a progression. So at that point, when it starts getting frozen on the ground, we switch to a different product, which is magnesium chloride or an enhanced magnesium chloride. And we put that down because that's actually got a little bit more different chemical properties that want to break down the ice and penetrate through the ice and start working its way from the surface up. And as traffic, and the thing that's important about using the magnesium chloride products is that you really need traffic on those to kind of mulch the product into the ground or into the snow. And so that's why we switched to that other product, and we'll finish out those storms beforehand. Now, those application times, though, for the magnesium chloride are primarily before rush hours because we know we're going to have the traffic volume. And we know that we're going to get that good mulching effect on the lanes. So that's pretty much the difference.
Okay, interesting to know. I didn't know that had so much to do with it as far as getting those volumes and getting that, like you said, that mulching effect. Hopefully some of our listeners are driving around and going, Makes more sense now. All right, we're going to be taking a short break, Brad.
Okay.
I am joined by Brad Bauer, who's the Colorado Department of Transportation Maintenance Supervisor for El Paso County Region. And I've also got on the line Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation. We are talking about winter maintenance and how important it is and what they're doing to keep our roads safe and keep them clear of snow when we get in those winter storm situations. Expecting some snow possibly this weekend. So I know, Brad, you're going to be on the lookout for that too. We're going to be continuing the conversation on The Extra after these messages. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And certainly the topic of how our roads are taken care of, especially during winter storms, is of importance to all of us, and unless you're lucky enough to just stay at home during a winter storm. A lot of people do have to travel, or they find themselves traveling at the tail end of a storm. So joining us today, we're very pleased to have with us not just Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation, who joins us monthly, but also Brad Bauer, her colleague at the Colorado Department of Transportation, who's a maintenance supervisor for El Paso County. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the differences between treating and pre-treating. But, you know, there are so many products we know that you have at your disposal. Brine, mag chloride, de-icer, ice slicer. What do you use when and what's the difference?
Well, you know, it's pretty much we use, it just really depends on the storm a lot. You know, some storms, like, you know, if we get a really cold snap, like early winter storm, or, you know, fall storm that kind of comes in and just, it's kind of drizzly and not really snow, but it freezes because the ground temperatures are too low. That oftentimes is just going to be more of a mag or a brine kind of storm. You know, we might put a little bit of the sand slicer mix that we have over the bridges because we like to call that anti-skid, you know, for obvious reasons, keeps people from skidding or sliding. So we'll put that maybe on the bridges because that's the bridges are a little bit harder to break sometimes. But then as the storm progresses, you know, as we're using our products, we put the mag down before the rush hours. We pretty much go to a sand slicer. Sometimes a straight ice slicer mix, depending, or just a straight ice slicer, and we'll put that down just because we want to keep traffic flowing and keep it, you know, keep a good flow, and give people the traction that they need to get from point A to point B, until the next morning when rush hour is starting to come up again, and then we'll apply the magnesium chloride, and it you know, starts the braking process, you know, starts, and then we wait for good old Mother Nature to come up with some sun and starts melting the ice and the snow. So, you know, we pretty much use a variety of products throughout the storm.
And I've noticed sometimes some of the worst accidents come the next morning when you don't have to have much to catch an edge on the edge of the road that's still there left over from a storm to send a driver, you know, sliding. Is it important for people to be just as attentive after the storm as they are when the snow first starts falling?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the a lot of times people don't realize, but even like changing lanes can be some kind of rough because there's a little bit of slush and maybe the snow is a little thicker between the lanes. So they need to be really careful when they're changing lanes, or, you know, if they kind of glide off over and onto the shoulder, I mean, that snow is probably going to be, you know, it could be 4 or 6 inches deep, which could cause some pretty severe wrecks, or, you know, it sucks them off out into the shoulder of the road, and then they're stuck and then they can't go anywhere. So, you know, it's really important that people just use caution and slow down when they're driving in the snow.
Right. And I noticed that after a storm, often You will see whether it's like the barriers on the side, the shoulder barriers, or, you know, other structures that are up there for our safety, completely crumpled because a car crashed into them. How important is it for, I guess, I mean, what kind of repairs are you, do you end up doing after a storm to take care of all of those maintenance needs that have been damaged because of, you know, drivers getting in an accidents after a storm?
You know, we do spend a lot of time doing that. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, we get the guardrails hit. We've got to go out and we try to repair those. If we can't, we put up a barrier to protect that end until we can get out there. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, it's speed. You know, most of the time when people hit the guardrail or they hit the barrier wall or what have you, it's just because they were going too darn fast. And if they would just slow down, it would save us a lot of work.
and probably save their car some major damage that needs to be repaired at the repair shop. And certainly the concept of bowing to the plow is one that we want to spend a lot of time on. We're going to take another break here. We're talking with Brad Bauer, who's the maintenance supervisor for CDOT for the El Paso County region. And we also have Michelle Pulin, who is joining us with CDOT, as she does every month, to talk about ongoing projects. But today we wanted to bring our focus really to bear with the subject matter expert, Brad Bauer, on what CDOT does to prepare for upcoming storms, what they do during storms, the effects of what they do, and also why we all need to be respectful of their plow drivers and how important that is for public safety and keeping roads clear. We're going to be talking about that when The Extra continues after your next check of news, traffic, weather, and these messages. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today we are very pleased to be joined by... Hello? Is anyone hearing me? Is anyone hearing me?
Hi.
I'm not
Hi,
sure.
Shannon.
Can you hear?
Okay. I can hear you.
I'm sorry. There really is no way for our producer to be communicating with me right now because we're doing this remotely. So, you know, I was hoping he would send me, I don't know, smoke signals or something.
So I am
joined right now by the folks from Colorado Department of Transportation. And before the break, we were talking about this concept known as bow to the plow. And I'd like to just ask Mr. Bauer, if you could tell us why it's so important that folks out there need to really respect this concept.
Yes, absolutely. So let me step up on my soapbox a little bit. I can't stress enough people out driving on the highways or even the city streets to please, stay back away from the plows. Our folks are out there, you know, sometimes when we get like really heavy storms, we'll do what's called echelon plowing, which is about 6 to 10 trucks, and they're pulling material or snow away from the concrete walls, because if we don't, that snow will just run, you know, when it starts melting out into the highway, and it'll melt and then it'll freeze again overnight. So we try to get as much of that material out. Well, over the years, we've literally had people that try to go through the plows every time because, you know, sometimes they can only maybe get 20 miles an hour tops while they're doing this because there's so much snow. And, you know, I've seen so many wrecks or near misses because people just get impatient and, you know, try to, shoot the gap between two plows or, you know, sometimes they'll even pass on the right shoulder as my guys are, you know, plowing. They'll just jump over in the right shoulder, not realizing that snow could be 5-10 inches deep sometimes. So I can't stress enough to folks to please stay back from the trucks. They're trying, you know, we try to, you know, let people know it's winter driving conditions. We put it all over our VMS boards. We let them know when we're going to be out there pre-treating, you know, hey, you're going to see something new out here. There's going to be a big truck with flashy lights putting liquid on the ground. But, you know, stay back away from them because, you know, sometimes you might not realize because the ground might look kind of just wet, let's say. But my guys are putting down some abrasive to keep traction because it is icy. You know, the temperatures are saying it's icy. So they're going to be putting down sand slicer mix. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I get phone calls. Oh, your guys are sanding and the roads are dry. Well, you know, they really just put down material when we need to put down material. So please stay away from the trucks. Don't try to pass them when they're out there. And that's my soapbox story.
That is a very important soapbox, because I imagine that there have been times, I mean, those are big vehicles, not like they can really turn on a dime or stop on a dime. So people are really, you know, endangering themselves as well as the plow drivers, as well as the operation, if they were to do something that foolhardy.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes our visibility, you know, even being in a taller vehicle like that, isn't all that great. You know, the mirrors get covered up with that dirty water, you know, and it gets covered with snow and ice, and sometimes our visibility isn't that good. So they just need to realize, just slow down. We'll get you to where you're going. It might take you a few more minutes, but, you know, bow to the plow and just and respect what our guys are doing out there.
Okay, and is it best to just pack your patience, or would you advise that people don't even try to follow that line of plows when they're, you know, behind it on the interstate? I mean, some people do have the option of taking another route.
Right, you know, and that's, you know, I think, you know, just pack your patience, you know, understand that we're out there for your safety, and it might, you know, the sun's shining, and I got 10 trucks out there plowing snow all the way across the highway, and people are going, oh, man, they're getting in my way today. I got to get here. And just, you know, just take a deep breath. Understand that we're trying to do this for later because, you know, that night, if we don't do that, the water's going to come out on the road. It's going to freeze, and then people are going to really have issues. So just pack the patience. Understand we're there to help you get from point A to point B. And, you know, take a deep breath when you see something like that or you see a plow in front of you.
And keep a safe distance behind. Would you say car lengths, four car lengths? What's the best distance to be behind those plows?
You know, I would say, you know, try to stay back about four car lengths, you know, and because if we're putting down an abrasive or a sand slicer mix, you know, it does have a tendency to bounce a little bit unless it's snowing. I mean, it seems to stick a little better when the snow's actively coming down. But, you know, just stay back and you shouldn't get any rock chips in your windows and things like that when you stay back away from the truck.
Okay. Well, and we appreciate that advice. And given that, you know, your maintenance drivers kind of specialize in winter driving, do you have any tips for drivers during winter conditions? I mean, you know, other than the obvious, you know, take it slow.
You know, the beauty of Colorado, and you know, I'm still astounded at the beauty of Colorado. You know, it snows one day, the conditions are horrible. You got 6 inches of snow falling. The roads were icy, and 24 hours later, they're perfectly dry. The sun's shining, and we're all out there in our shorts and T-shirts. So that's really the thing in Colorado. Just understand the few times a year that we are actually out there, and I say a few times because this year we haven't had a whole lot of snow. We hope that pattern's going to change because we really need the moisture. But, you know, just be patient. You know, pack a kit. I mean, I always recommend that people, you know, try to have a shovel. Try to have some water and some food and maybe a couple blankets. And be ready because you never know. If it comes in as you know, we usually know when there's going to be a blizzard because, you know, the media, everybody's good at pointing out, hey, there's a blizzard coming. There's some conditions that they're setting up just right. Stay home, you know, during those big snowstorms. Stay home. But if you absolutely have to be out there, make sure you got some supplies right, and that you're ready to go because you might have to sit somewhere.
Right. And we all remember the bomb cyclone when people were stuck on the interstate for several hours. And it was because of accidents that weren't even in their sight line. So a lot of people didn't understand why they were stuck. And it's certainly while the gap construction is going on, that's a bigger possibility. So, you know, make sure you're prepared for a possible thing like that. And, you know, not be there without your mittens and gloves and boots in case you do need to get out and trek somewhere. Or try to, you know, get drivers unstuck. So, Brad, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined again by Brad and Michelle. We're going to be getting some information on Know Before You Go, why it's so important to sign up for alerts. That's coming up as The Extra continues. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with people, issues, and topics important to you. And today our focus is on CDOT and all the work that they do and their expertise that they bring to the task of keeping our roads safe and clear for us to use, especially during the winter storms. We've been talking with Brad Bauer, the maintenance supervisor for the region, for El Paso County region. And we also have on the line Michelle Pulin, who is the communications manager for a region too. And I think, Michelle, I don't know if you want to tackle this. Know before you go. Why is it so important, especially during the wintertime, for us all to know that and to do it?
One of our many sayings, you know, we've got bow to the plow and now know before you go. But, you know, as Brad gave many, many great driving tips, the one that I always like to give is be prepared. No matter what time of year it is, if you come up on an inconvenience on the road, whether it's weather conditions or a construction project, if you know in advance, that inconvenience isn't so significant. So CDOT has a wonderful tool to help you with your commute, with your, maybe it's recreational travel, and that's our website, which is cotrip.org. But in addition to that, we have specialized alerts. And you can sign up for those alerts at 511.cotrip.org. And the great thing about the alerts is you can specify them to be your commute to work, a special time of day. So if there is some sort of impact, say you drive to work on Colorado 21 on Powers Boulevard, and your commute is from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, you can set up that alert. So if anything is going to impact your drive during that time, you'll get a text or an email, your choice, and then you can make alternate plans. So again, I always like to say the inconvenience won't be as impactful if you know about it in advance and can plan for it, whether that's leaving a little bit early or taking an alternate route. Same goes in winter conditions. If we have a road closed or real bad conditions, you're going to get an alert. So if you don't want to sign up for alerts, you can always check our website, cotrip.org. The other cool thing about the website, as Brad was talking about all of our snowplows, you can track every single snowplow that's out on the roads in Colorado on our website, cotrip.org.
Wow. And does that go for, because I know there are certain restrictions that go into effect when you're in the high country. Will you get alerts that relate to those, keep you, on your toes and prepared?
Absolutely. There's filters on the alert page that you can sign up for traction alerts. So if we have passenger vehicle traction law in place, you'll get that in advance. Say you're planning a ski trip for the weekend, you sign up for the alerts to know what weather's going to be like on I-70 and road conditions, you'll get those alert messages.
Right, because there's nothing worse than getting stuck on I-70 going through some of those canyons. And, if you do not come prepared, you may be finding yourself in a lot of trouble. Well, let's move on a little bit, Michelle. We have a couple of minutes left. Do you have any updates you can give us on some of the projects going on in the region? Because we know people love to see improvements going on the roads.
Absolutely. I have some very exciting news to share. So over the holidays, there was a COVID stimulus package that made it through our legislators. And from that, $137 million came to transportation in Colorado. Of that, $25.5 million is coming to El Paso County, and with a partnership with Pikes Peak Area Council of Government and CDOT, we are going to put all of that money towards the Research Parkway and Powers project. So that project had been delayed. It was supposed to start in the summer of 2020, but due to some budget restrictions because of COVID, we had to put that project on pause. But because of the stimulus package, we will be starting that project this summer. So incredibly excited to finally get to deliver that project to El Paso County. So,
and how long will that construction last, do you think? Yeah,
that will be
go ahead.
That will be a two-season project. It is a significant project. So what we will be doing is we will be building an above-grade interchange. So Powers will go above Research Parkway. We will remove the signal, so traffic will continue to free flow right over Research. So you won't have to stop and have the delays of that light that's currently there. Research Parkway will be turned into a diverging diamond interchange. So we are going to make that intersection much safer. You won't have as many conflict points and opportunities for crashes. And it's going to be a heck of a lot safer for pedestrians and bicyclists. We know we have several schools in that area, so kids will be able to get to school a lot safer with the new intersection. And again, it'll start in the summer and should be done in 2 years.
Will there be detours, or should people just be expecting delays? That's a great one. So, will there be detours, or will people be expecting delays? Yeah.
People will be expecting delays. So CDOT has worked really hard to try and find a magic wand that allows us to build construction projects without impacts on motorists, but we haven't found that magic wand just yet. So it will be a very active construction zone. So while we have construction underway, folks should expect for a very active work zone. And again, pack your patience, as we've said, just like, you know, when Brad was talking about winter conditions, pack your patience and know that there is a good solution coming down the pike.
It is really good news. I mean, that kind of funding, when you lose it, you don't often see it coming back. So the fact that it's coming back and not really in too much of a delayed fashion to get that project back going is very encouraging indeed. Michelle, thank you so much. Brad, thank you as well. Before we go, Brad, as we're getting ready for perhaps another storm this weekend, any last words you want to say to the drivers out there?
Well, just be prepared. We'll be out there pre-treating this weekend, and be ready. Be ready for anything, and use the co-trip and try to figure out your routes if you need to. But, you know, just drop a gear and take a breath, and we'll get you where you need to be.
I love that. Drop a gear, take a breath. That could be your next new saying, that, you know, bow to the plow, drop a gear, take a breath. I like that, because definitely you want to be smart when you're around those plows. Don't want to be one of those stupid drivers that causes problems. I'd like to thank our guests for today, Brad Bauer and Michelle Pulin with Colorado Department of Transportation. We appreciate your time. We appreciate what you do to keep our roads safe.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Extra.